Morning, church. Still morning. Today a bit sparse. I think a lot of people have gone to church camp already. And the rest, I think, probably couldn't get up after watching Brazil play this morning. I know there are some who already are looking at where are the places in KL that they can watch free football. But please remember, when you go there, you are on Team Jesus. Team Jesus, not Brazil or Team Jesus. Okay. This morning, my sermon topic is Simang Kang Wai Chiu. Who holds my hand? Or holds your hand? My hand is Elaine. Your hand is different person. Okay, so who holds your hand? And before we read the text, let's come in the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to listen to your word, Lord, we pray you open up our hearts, open up our minds to receive the word. Lord, we pray you anoint my lips as I share with the church. Lord, we just pray that they will open up their hearts and receive the word with receiving hearts. Lord, that you change their hearts, change their minds, that they will come to love your community, love your church. And Lord, we just pray that your presence be with us during this time. And Lord, we just pray that your word will be spoken forth and that it will be a seed that is planted in the hearts of our members. Lord, we want to commit this time into your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me read the text today. It goes from Exodus 17, verse 8 to 13. It's written, read from the NIV. Verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of your men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Church, life is many times exhausting. You know, there are times where we are spiritual high, where things are good, full of faith, we have determination to go the extra mile. But when things happen in our life, when events happen, when we have to battle, where sicknesses come, job losses come, struggles in family, all the things that, problems that come to our life, our hands grow weary. We pray, but the responsibilities keep coming. The burdens seem endless. Sometimes prayer feels unanswered. Sometimes the fight against sin, discouragement, illness, family struggles, ministry challenges leaves us drained. This is not because we're unfaithful, not because we don't love God, not because we're doing something wrong. But sometimes it happens just because we are human. We feel drained because we are human beings. And things will wear us out, we'll feel weary. In this passage, Israel was under attack by the Amalekites. Joshua fought in the valley while Moses stood on a hill with the staff of God in his hands. As long as his hands were held up in prayer to God, Israel prevailed. But when his hands grew tired, Amalekites gained the advantage. Now, this was Moses. He's not any ordinary man. He was the man who stood before Pharaoh, the man who parted the Red Sea with his staff and God opened up the Red Sea. He was the leader chosen by God. But yet, his hands grew tired. And the turning point you can see in Exodus 17:12 is when his hands grew so tired, Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side. And the roadmap today, I want to ask three questions. The three questions are, when problem comes, who holds your hand? When someone offers to help, can they hold your hand? When you see someone in need, will you hold their hand? A lot of hands, huh? So let's go down to the fourth point. When problem comes, who holds your hand? You know, problems can come at any time. In Ecclesiastes 9:12, it reads, I skip the whole part and come to part. So people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. This shows you that actually problems come to us unexpectedly. You see, when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they had a miracle. But Amalekites still attacked them. Sometimes in life we think, wow, things are happening so great, things will never go wrong. But you know, that's life. Unexpected problems always come. Problems will just arise, health issues, finances. And the reality is, in life, problems will come in some form or other. The question then is not how do we prepare for these problems, it's how do we react to these problems. Do we take action, try to solve these problems on our own? Or do we go down on our knees and pray? From the passage, you can see that Moses asked Joshua to choose some men and go and fight. And this is the first battle that the Israelites had to fight since they came out of Egypt. So once they came out of Egypt, this is the first battle that they had. Joshua had to fight. Moses was up on the hill. And Moses' hand symbolizes prayer, dependence on God. The battle's outcome was not determined solely by Joshua's sword, even though he had to go and fight the Amalekites. It was actually Moses' intercession with God, showing that the spiritual support and prayer are crucial in times where we have challenges. As you can see, as long as Moses' hands were up, Israelites were winning. When he lowered them, the Amalekites were winning. So you actually see that there's actually a physical battle on the ground and a spiritual battle in the spiritual realm. And church, do you know which one really matters? As you can read, Joshua still needed to put his hand to the sword, but the battle was decided on the hill. The battle was decided by Moses lifting up his hands to God. So when problems come, we usually need to take some action. But more important is bringing our problems to God. As Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God asks us to bring everything to Him. Every problem we face, bring it to God, bring it to the one who is sovereign, who can hold our hand. If you look carefully in the beginning of Exodus, sometimes you see There are times where God fights for Israel. They don't have to do anything. If you read Exodus 14:13, let me read for you. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So there are times in our life, especially when we are new Christians, where actually God can fight for you. God can win the battle. You just have to stay still and see God's wonders. But many a time, God requires us to take some form of action. And this is usually to build up our faith, build up our trust in Him, build up our dependence on Him. A lot of times we are too self-independent. You know, the days, this age, a lot of it is self-help. But God actually wants to teach us we need to depend on God. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, let me read for you Exodus 13, 17 to 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, ready for battle. The Israelites were not ready to face any battle when they came out of Egypt. They still had a slave mindset. God had to teach the Israelites dependence on Him. And many a time, God teaches us this way. God teaches us through blessings in our life, things we go through. God teaches us how to depend on Him slowly, steadily. And when God parts the Red Sea for us, that is God teaching us we need to depend on Him. If you look at all the miracles that God did for the Israelites between the Red Sea or between leaving Egypt to the first time they fought, actually you will see there are so many miracles that God did for them and to teach the Israelites that God is sovereign and you can trust in Him. First, I'll see at the waters of Mirah and Elim. And let me read for you. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. So the Israelites, seeing God's wonders of parting the Red Sea, they still had their own needs. They still cried out to God for water, and God showed them He can make bitter waters drinkable. Next, in Exodus 16, a chapter later, again the Israelites cried out, "Give me food." They were saying, food in Egypt is better. And in Exodus 16, let's read. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared in the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is this?" For they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." God provided meat in the form of quail, bread in the form of manna for the Israelites. Again, He was teaching them, I can provide for you. You want meat? I provide for you meat. You want food? I provide for you bread. Later on, we see in Exodus 17, verse 5 to 6, again, the Israelites cried out, because they had no water to drink. And we read, the Lord answered Moses, "Go out in the front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, take it in your hand, the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. You know, God is a loving God. And many a time, before problem comes, God actually prepares us. God gives us miracles. God builds our faith. God slowly strengthens us, tests us a little bit, strengthens our faith, our resolve, our dependence on Him, so that when the battle comes, we are ready to fight. We are ready to depend on God. We are ready to know that God is sovereign over all, and that no matter what happens, God holds our hand. So life will always have battles. We can't predict when they will come. So don't be surprised when the battle comes. Be prepared to fight. Be prepared to pray. And when they come, be prepared to trust in the God that holds your hand. You know, Jesus, when He asked Peter to walk out, and Peter saw the strong waves and winds, in Matthew 14, 30 to 31, when Peter saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" And that's a lot of times at us. We've gone through so much. We've seen so many miracles. When we see the waves and wind, do we doubt? Do we stretch out our hand? And do you know what? Whenever you stretch your hand and you ask Jesus, "Please save me," Jesus will be there to grab your hand and pull you out. There's a famous line from Ignatius of Loyola. It's a very funny name. He says, "Pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you." But I don't really like that. I prefer to go pray because everything depends on God. And work faithfully because God calls you to be responsible. Let me just give you a little testimony about my time where I actually went through what the Israelites had when they were going out of Egypt. So in my mid-30s, around 35, I was working in a very difficult company. It felt like Egypt, you know, slavery. And I finally decided I need to quit this job. So I said, "God, I need to go out." I prayed. I said, "I want to leave this job." But you know the practical thing, I asked my late wife, "Hey, do we have money to survive if I quit my job now?" And my late wife said, "Yeah, you can survive 6 months." So I left my job without a job, went to apply a job. I thought, mid-30s, with my experience, I should be able to find a job. But you know what? For 11 months, I couldn't find anything. And during these 11 months, actually God was working my faith. God was going me through tests. You know, when you're working, especially for guys, you're not working, you know, when your friend asks you, "Hey, what's your job? What are you doing?" In between jobs. You know, a lot of our time, our identity comes with work. And we just have to put out our humble and say, "Okay, God, I need to depend on you." A lot of times when I send out resumes, you know, sending out and finding a job is like a job itself. You need to spend time writing resumes. You need to go for interviews. And it was so difficult that a lot of times I felt like giving up. But, you know, God was always there for me. They tell you that in the beginning when I quit my job, my son had just gone into primary one and he couldn't do his maths. And I was wondering, why you can't do your maths? Maths is his favorite subject in kindergarten. And I realized it's not because he couldn't do maths, but because he couldn't read the problem sum in English. Primary one, you know, all of his problem sums. And I decided that, okay, I need to help him in his English. So actually, God used my 11 months of not working to actually tuition my son English for 11 months. And not only English, I had to tuition him Chinese. And those who know me, my Chinese is cannot make it. So I had to learn primary one Chinese to teach my son primary one Chinese. Humbling experience. But God was teaching me, and I trusted God. When we don't have money, my late wife, who was working in government service, suddenly government will declare, oh, civil servants, half-month bonus. And then we had a bit more money. Throughout these 11 months of going through, God was teaching me, guiding me. And this 11 months was actually the best time of my life. I was so close to God. I had a lot of time to pray, a lot of time to go closer to God. And you know what? I asked God, God, I'm so close to you. Find me a job that keeps me close to you. And let me tell you, that's a very dangerous thing to ask God. Keep me close to you. Find me a job that's close to you, God. Because I tell you, at the end of 11 months, I couldn't take it. My late wife just told me, Ivor, we have no money. You need to get a job. And I prayed. Next day, literally next day, I had two interviews. I found a job in insurance, which also kept me praying because I found out I couldn't sell to save my life. So for 6 months, I worked in the industry of insurance. I sold to myself, my wife, my late wife, and my father-in-law. And I had to really trust God, say, God, how? I'm not a salesman. What do I do? But God kept his faith. God kept holding my hands. I also realized that when my late wife said, I have no money, it could last another 6 months. So that's different expectation of what is no money. And you know what? When I finally found my job, 17 months later, it was one of the jobs that it was really a battle. But that was the job that God actually prepared for me. But I tell you, the first few months of that job was like a battle. First of all, let me tell you, when I went for the interview, it was not within the company. It was through a recruitment firm. And I asked them, so what am I applying for? Which job? I cannot tell you. What's the company name? Cannot tell you. I said, what job is this? Cannot tell you. So I had a couple of interviews outside of the company. I had an interview with the four directors, the MD and a VP on my last interview. I was like, what job is this that requires so much secrecy? You know, on the first day of my job was the first day I stepped into the company. And it was such a hostile environment. The person I replaced didn't leave. He was demoted under me. All the rest of the staff were hired by him. And they were looking at me with hostile eyes. Who is this guy? Came in, take over my boss job. And wow, it was so bad. I think I've never had such a hostile environment before. And I was praying to God. I said, God, what have you gotten me into? But I trusted God. I tell you, when you pray, find me a job that keeps me close to you, this is something that can happen. Every morning, I will go to work 1 hour early. I pray. I say, God, this is your company. This is your job. I'm just your partner. I'm just there to partner with you. You do the thing. And, you know, God slowly brought it through. And one day, a few weeks later, one of my key staff resigned. I was like, God, why like that? Why you let my key staff resign? How am I going to continue? But I trusted God. You know what? Even though before this staff resigned, things were very hostile, things were very bad. But surprisingly, the moment this key staff left, oh, it was calm seas. And I realized later on that this guy was the stirrer. He was the cause of all my pains and worries. And God promoted him away to somewhere else. Promoted last, so he did a better job. But I had peace. And you know, God really worked and helped me in this time in this new job. And I believe a lot of it was because I trusted him and because God brought me through this period where I could learn to trust in him. So church and brothers and sisters, you know, when you go through tough times, know that God has already prepared you. God will not let you go through things that you cannot bear. And when you go through things, he will also provide a way out. So in this situation, God was there for me. And I was there for more than 10 years. And God blessed me really, really well there. So the question then, when you face problems and difficulties in your life, who holds your hand? Who holds your hand? The answer, God does. God holds your hand. God prepares you. God will be there for you. When you are in need, God holds your hand. But God doesn't always physically use his own might and hold your hand. Many a times, he uses people. The point too I have, when someone offers to help you, can they hold your hand? You know, as leaders, pastors, you know, we fill in the gap for the sheep. But we also actually sometimes go weary. We are tired. You can see in this passage that Moses, the servant of God, who performed many miracles and spoke to God face to face, also grew weary. And you see, as long as his hands were up, they were winning. As when it came down, the Amalekites were winning. Weariness is not failure. Doesn't mean you're tired, you have failed God. It's just part of being human. Our human limitations. We are human. Even strong leaders like Moses reach their limit sometime. And God meets us honestly in our weakness. God can supernaturally empower us like he did with Elijah when he outran Ahab's chariot. Read in 1 Kings 18, verse 46. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. God can do that. God can give us supernatural power. But many a time, God sends help in the form of community. You can see in Exodus 17:12, it was Aaron and Hur who held out his hands, one on each side, till sunset. In this passage, God sent Aaron and Hur to support Moses. Many a time, we also need to learn to accept help from God through our community. And this is true especially for us leaders, but also for members. Sometimes it's our pride that we decline help, hoping that God will intervene directly without having us to rely on others. You know, I remember a story from my youth about a man stuck on the roof. If you remember this story, then you're my age. If not, I think you're much younger. So the story goes like this. A terrible flood swept through a town. As the waters rose, a man climbed onto the roof of his house and prayed, "Lord, I trust you. Please save me." Soon a neighbor came by with a boat and shouted, "Jump in. I'll bring you to safety." But the man said, "No, thank you. God will save me." The flood waters rose and a rescue boat came. "Sir, come with us. This is your last chance." Again, the man answered, "No, I have faith that God will save me." And the waters rose even higher until only the roof was visible. And finally, a helicopter came, rolled a rope, said, "Grab the rope, we can save you." But the man waved them away. "No, God will save me." And you know the story. Flood waters rose, he eventually died. He drowned to death. And when he arrived in heaven, he asked God, "Lord, I trusted you. Why didn't you save me?" And God replied, "You know, I sent you a neighbor in the boat. I sent you the motorboat, the team. I sent you a helicopter. What more were you waiting for?" And this is sometimes our response. Is there a boat that God has sent to your life through the church that you need to receive? Imagine Moses saying to Aaron and her, in our typical Singaporean way, "Don't need lah. God will save me lah. I can do it. I can tong with the staff." But what would happen if he had done that? I don't think Israel would have won. But God sent Aaron and her to help him. Moses accepted their help, and God knew that Moses would, and God was the one who helped them. Do I need to clarify that not all help that is offered is from God or within God's plan? You also need to be discerning from who or when we should be accepting help. You know, not every help, if your three-year-old boy comes and says, "Daddy, let me help you change the light bulb," please don't let him. So some problems that we have requires a more mature people. Some requires a certain maturity. Experience has shown that not all mature people will help. Some of it will actually end up messing things more. Some problems we need to work on our own before we ask people for help. Sometimes the person that's offering us help is already carrying so much burdens that, you know, getting help from them wouldn't be wise. Not all problems should be shared. Some problems are of a nature that if you share with certain people, you might actually stumble them. So we need to be a bit discerning when we receive help or when help is offered. But you know, when battle rages and God sends help in the form of our church community, let's be willing to accept the helping hand. Sometimes we overuse this verse. I always hear this: it is better to give than to receive. So we think receiving is bad. But you know, it's also good to receive. It's just it's better to give. And God created the church community so that we can help each other as a family of God. Now, help can come in many forms. It could be prayer. It could be church members willing, "Hey, brother, let me pray for you." Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this day you will fulfill the law of Christ." So sometimes God answers it by getting other people to pray for you. Sometimes it's just encouragement. A timely word can strengthen a weary heart. And in Thessalonians 5:1, encourage one another and build each other up. Sometimes help can come in the form of practical assistance. You can help your brother who is in need. I know of a family who is struggling with children. And another cell member just came, "Brother, let me take care of your children for one night. You go and spend time with your wife." That is such a helpful, practical help. Sometimes help comes in accountability. And as iron sharpens iron, sometimes we need to hold each other accountable so that we can improve ourselves. Sometimes it's just serving alongside. When someone comes in to help and support us and serve alongside us, as can be seen in this passage with Aaron and her. And sometimes it's just your presence in time of suffering. If you see a brother or sister suffering, many a times we feel we shouldn't go and disturb them, but a lot of times our presence helps. Our presence helps them go through this. Because in Romans, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." You know Job, who was suffering, he had three friends who came to be with him. And you know, those three friends, just their presence in the first week helped a lot. But do you know when their help became not helpful? When they opened their mouth. So sometimes, just your presence helps. In church, when we do receive this help from our friends, and they will be helping us, please remember to thank them. Please remember to thank those who supported you through this time. Because, do you know, when they support you, they also sacrifice their time, they also sacrifice their money, they also sacrifice energy, they sacrifice their emotional tank, because they have to support you. The support comes from God, but it's always true, or many times it's through the community. So yes, definitely God holds our hands. But our God is a creative God who uses people to come alongside and lend a helping hand. Will you be willing to let others hold your hands in times of crisis, in times of trouble? Let's be willing to accept help from our friends, our community in church. Which brings us to the third point. When you see someone in need, will you hold their hand? You know, God's solution to Moses' weariness was not instant supernatural strength or removing the battle. Instead, he sent people. He sent Aaron and Hur, and the passage reveals that they noticed the need. They responded without being asked, and they stayed till the very end. That's the type of help we want to offer our brothers and sisters. When they stayed to the very end means they didn't stay until it was inconvenient, not until they got tired themselves, not until they had something else to do, but they stayed until the battle was over. And the Bible reinforces this in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. And Galatians 6, 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. The truth is, God often answers prayers through people. Sometimes we pray, Lord, give me the strength to do it. Many a time, God says, I've given you a community in church. So as a member of Christ's community, or the church community, what do we do when we see a brother in need? Do we say a prayer and then bye-bye, pray for them, walk away? Praying is important, but when there's something you can do, you can spend time, you can give a little gift, would you be obedient to take that step of faith, that step of obedience and act upon it? This step sometimes requires financial. It could be taking money that you've been saving up for that favorite watch. It could be time spent with your kids, time watching anime. You need to spend that time with your friend. It could be your energy. It could be emotional time. Would you spend that time with your brother? Let me tell you of an incident I had years back when I was still in LSBC. You know, a brother shared with us that he had been in an accident. He was driving a taxi, and his taxi would be in a workshop for a few weeks, leaving him with no income. And a group of brothers and sisters gathered to pray for him, but God kept tugging in my heart with this verse in mind. In James 2, 15 to 16, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? The thing is, I can't remember why, but at that time, I had some extra money. Maybe it was a bonus. I can't remember what it was. But this verse had been in my heart and was, I read it about a few days ago. And the truth is, I was hoping that God was not telling me anything or to do anything with this money. So when this brother shared and we were praying for him, you know, I tried to ignore this, but God kept tugging in my heart. It got so uncomfortable that I actually walked straight to Block 106. There's a POSB there, and there's an ATM. Last time, no pay now, so must go ATM, draw money. drop money, put in a red packet, give to this brother. This was the help that God has asked me to bless. And I find that God has actually blessed me a lot of times so that I can bless others. I have learned not to hold things too tightly in my hands. I tell you the secret why I don't hold too tightly. Because I know that when God has to pry open my fingers to get at what I'm holding, very painful. And God pry. Release what you hold, bless others. So I've learned to hold it lightly, not so tight, so that when God asks me to bless, I bless. And you know what? Experience has shown, whenever I bless, God actually blesses me more. And I keep getting more blessings so that I can even bless others even more. So in terms of sometimes in finance, God has actually given us many blessings, time, good health, so that you can go out and bless others as well. I don't believe God bless you just because, yes, He loves you, but many a time the blessing is for you to bless others. So brothers and sisters, when you see a fellow church member, a fellow brother in need and struggling, will you be that Aaron and her for them? Will you see the need and respond with or without being asked? Will you stay with them till the very end? Will you take that step and sacrifice some of your resources that God has blessed you with? Would you be willing to be an Aaron and her, to lend a helping hand to someone in need? Would you be the church community that God has placed in and around us? And in conclusion, it's good time, so you can go and watch soccer later. At the end of the day, Israel won the battle. Not because Moses was strong enough or Joshua was skilled enough. They won because Moses accepted help. Others stepped in to support. But most importantly, God was in control. God was sovereign. And you know, in our life battles, you can always trust God because He's there for you. You can have brothers and sisters who come in to help you, to give you an extra helping hand. And in the community, we also stretch out their helping hand to others. Let me give you a short testimony in closing about the support I got from my cell group. You know, my late wife was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in 2019. And when we heard the news, you know, our world came crumbling down. My kids were still very young. But you know, I'm very appreciative for my cell group at that point of time. When you hear this type of news, the cell group was there to hold us up. The cell group was there to support us. I know the ladies had a ladies' chat, and they constantly prayed for her. They met up with her when she was down, frequently checked on us on how we were. And you know, I don't think I would have really, really survived through this period where she had cancer until she passed in 2022 without the support of the cell group. I know I trusted in God. God was there for me, but God sent the cell group to support me in tangible ways that I could feel. You know, a phone call, just being there for us. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. There's nothing much you can say to someone who is really dying. You can just be there for them. And you know, I appreciate them so much. And sometimes that is what we can do for others as well. We can be there for them. We can be there to our presence, our encouragement. You know, I know God was holding our hands to the very end, through darkest valleys, and the physical hands that God sent were my cell groups that helped me up. So I want us to leave you with two thoughts before I close this sermon. You know, who holds your hand right now? Or who has held your hands in the past? Through your crisis, through your times of struggle, when you were without a job, when you were suffering, when you had no work, when you had some illness, who was there with you? No, please appreciate them. If you can, thank them, tell them, I appreciate you, thank you for being there for me, because they have sacrificed to be with you. And the second question and the second thought, whose hand will you hold? Whose hand were you holding? Will you take that step to reach out to those in need? Will you be that helping hand that holds them up during their most urgent crisis, their toughest time? And you know, church, this is why we are here. This is our church community. We are here to hold other people up and for others to hold us up, because this is what Christ wants for us, to be a family. So would you answer the call of Jesus to reach out the hand to your brother and sisters? You know, whenever hands need steadying, God doesn't just give us strength, He gives us a community. And I'm very thankful for Living Century Brethren Church, because you have been a good community to us, for me, my family, and I pray that we will be a community to you as well, that you will feel accepted in this church, you will feel supported. Even though God will be there holding your hand, there will be people alongside holding your hand as well. And in closing, I just want to encourage us, look to God, look to people as well. God sends people, God sends help through people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a wonderful community you have built in us. Lord, you have built community, and this is your will, Lord, that we as a church support one another and get support from each other as well. Because this is what, Lord, you have decreed, that we pray for each other, that we support each other, we hold each other, we encourage each other, we are present for each other. And Lord, we thank you for this church family that you've given us. We thank you that, Lord, you have blessed us with this family. And Lord, we just pray that you open up our hearts, open up our minds, so that when we see others in need, Lord, we will also take that step forward. We will open up, we will take that, reach out our hand and hold our brother and sister's hand up. And Lord, we just thank you that in this community, you have blessed us so much that we can be a blessing to others as well. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful time you've given us. We thank you that, Lord, you have given us this word, and we pray that, Lord, you will speak to us as we go from here. We appreciate the people who have helped us up, and Lord, we will also open up our hands to see others in need. Open up our eyes to see where we can help. Open up our hearts. Open up our hands to release the resources you have blessed us with, so that we can bless others as well. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.